Good morning, Butler Area School District. Welcome to Friday morning's edition of the Butler Area School District radio broadcast. I'm Mr. Takis, and with me, I have
Mr. McCool. Mr. McCool and Mr. Takis, two of the most fabulous teachers at the Butler Middle School. We both teach science and social studies for fifth grade.
That's right. We have the great pleasure of teaching great minds, science, and United States history. And so we're going to start today with the Pledge of Allegiance. I would like for you to stand, if you can. Please take off any hat you may have on. Place your right hand over your heart, and you can say the Pledge of Allegiance with me. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was wonderful, Mr. Takis. Thank you so much. But I think we need to get started. How's your morning been so far?
Pretty interesting. Let me tell you something, Mr. McCool. This morning, I went outside and I was feeding an elephant in my pajamas.
Get out of here. This morning, this very morning, you were feeding an elephant in your pajamas.
Yep. He was really hungry, and how he got in my pajamas, I'll never know.
That's a joke, Mr. McCool. That was for the
comedy, right? Yeah. All right, Mr. McCool. Hey, do you want to give a rundown to our listeners for kind of what we're going to be talking about today?
I am. We're going to be talking about a lot of the things we do at the middle school and ways that some of our listeners out there can take in some knowledge on their own, and hopefully they'll find a topic that they're really into, and we're going to issue them a challenge at the end of the broadcast. So everybody listening, listen to what we talk about. If something really gets you excited, maybe write it down or remember that topic, and again, at the end of the class, or the radio broadcast, which this is, you will be issued a challenge to help pull your interests along with what we're discussing here. And
you have five parts you want to talk about today, right?
Yeah, five parts. We have number one, Trout in the Classroom, which was discussed, if anybody heard Mr. Andrews' presentation on Tuesday morning. Trout in the Classroom is something that he started doing many years ago in the district, and he was very nice to help expand his program to Mr. Takis and I in fifth grade. Trout in the Classroom, we have two tanks, actually, two cold water tanks, and we raise rainbow trout. They come to us as eggs, and they develop, they grow, and we release them in the spring. Mr. Takis, you've seen all this happen. What's your favorite part of that process?
Well, I'll tell you what, in all the programs that Mr. McCool and I are going to discuss today, probably my favorite part of all of these programs is the student involvement. The fifth grade students in Team 1 and Team 2 particularly take on their responsibilities of helping to raise these trout, the catfish, and everything else you're going to talk about, but, you know, we receive them as eggs, and they really get to see how the fish grow and develop.
These eggs in particular are called eyed eggs because you can see the eyes. This is the first actual part of the fish that you can recognize, and it grows from there. Eventually, the back and the front of the fish break out of the egg sac, and then they're left with an abdomen with a big mass of tissue there that they consume as their food before they start even eating with their mouth. When they start swimming to the top, you know it's time to start feeding them. And next thing you know, 6 months later, they're about 3 inches long and ready to be released.
And I have to say, right now, they're developing quite well, very colorful. And Mr. McCool will be telling you more about our links, but so the fish in particular, both the trout and the catfish, you can watch live webcams. So
That is true. We added a second webcam this year. We have one that is with the rainbow trout, and we have another one with the catfish, and that's the second part of our program. We are actually a Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission cooperative nursery. There are many, many cooperative nurseries across the state. Some are hunting and fishing clubs or environmental groups or Trout Unlimited. Basically, the program supplies you with fish, and you need to raise them in order to be stocked into a Pennsylvania stream or fishing lake. We are raising catfish. We get them from the Fish Commission when they're about an inch long. And here we are again about 6 months later this year, and some of our catfish are about 3 to 4 inches long, ready to be released into Glade Run Lake, which is in Valencia, PA. It's a fishing lake that they actually, a few years ago, did a lot of maintenance, fixed it up, but needed to be refitted with fish. So we, as a district, are responsible for supplying the catfish for that lake. The tank itself is about 400 gallons, and it recirculates the same water. It's got a settlement filter where basically all the little floaties and the catfish waste fall into a low spot, drain it out, and put some new water in. It's very easy. It's very fun. Students also love to be a part of that, maintaining that equipment. Now, suddenly we had a joke to break up the information here, Mr. Takis. You don't know any fish jokes, do you?
I think I may. Here's one for you. Why are fish so smart?
So smart?
Yes, why are fish so smart? If you're listening out there, I hope you have an answer. Why are fish so smart?
I'm stumped. You're going to have to tell me.
Because they swim in schools.
We'll never get the old Mr. Takis. Never.
No. We used to pull back in one of our videos, I believe, Mr. McCool.
That's right. And that's another thing that people can see on our website. We're going to have to make sure we tell them what that is a little later. So we're growing fish. We've got trout. We've got catfish. We're doing other things. We're growing things other than fish. We're growing plants. Hydroponics. We have several mobile hydroponics gardens. They're on wheels. We have some different types. Basically, no matter what type of hydroponic garden you make, it just involves growing plants without soil. Roots don't need to be in soil. The main purpose of soil is just to give the roots something to hold on to so the plant can stand up. And there's been a lot of talk about this new technology. People are talking about hydroponics as a new technology. It's environmentally friendly. It uses almost no water compared to regular agriculture. And it's thought to be a really good option for our future. There's even a rather new company in the Pittsburgh area called Fifth Season. They've got a giant new facility. And they're also integrating a lot of robotics to make that garden to be able to move the plants around, to be able to harvest the plants. Seems like pretty cutting-edge stuff, but is that actually true, Mr. Takis? Is hydroponics new?
No, not at all. I think it's come to light because more and more restaurants are using hydroponically raised produce. But believe it or not, hydroponics, it's been around for thousands of years. In fact, probably the first recorded evidence of that is the famous Hanging Gardens of Babylon. That was an ancient civilization that is currently in present-day Iraq. But if you could imagine, thousands of years ago, they had these hanging gardens built around 600 B.C., they were situated along the Euphrates River down there, and it's a pretty dry area there. So they figured out a way that they can use water to raise lush gardens. They had the river water hoisted up into the gardens using devices, but there would be landings or steps where the water would flow and the gardens could flourish. And if anybody out there is listening that's in fifth grade, one of the things we studied about were the Aztecs this year. And if you recall, the Aztecs, they lived in what is now present-day Mexico on an island in the middle of a huge lake. Their city was called Tenochtitlan, and it was surrounded by a lake. And one of the things they did was they used water, hydroponics, I should say, to grow their food. So they built some rafts out of reeds. On these rafts, they put soil on top of them, and they had this floating around their city. And crops would grow on top of those rafts. Their roots would reach down into the water. And, you know, they could grow their crops that way. It's very well thought out, very well engineered system. And believe it or not, you know, we studied Marco Polo, too. And in his writings, there's even evidence that he witnessed similar floating gardens while visiting China in the late 13th century. So hydroponics has been around for a very long time.
That's fascinating stuff. It's funny how things that are old become new again. And, again, I predict that we're going to see a lot more about hydroponics in the future, but we actually have a fourth component to our program. We have trout, we have catfish, we have hydroponics, but we also have aquaponics. Now, those floating rafts you mentioned in what is now Mexico, the ancient Aztecs, they didn't have to worry about fertilizing or adding anything to the root structure of those plants because all of the necessary nutrients the plants need to be successful and grow are supplied by fish poop. And you can bet that lake was full of fish, just like our 400-gallon catfish tank is full of fish. Those fish go to the bathroom, and that waste is actually really good stuff for plants. So we have what's called an aquaponics garden. We pump the water directly from the catfish tank through tubes, and those tubes have plant roots in them. Again, this is all on our website. There are pictures and videos of everything that we're talking about. And these plants are amazingly successful with nothing but a lot of light and catfish water. And these are things that maybe a lot of people don't realize, but as you said, it's been around for a long, long time.
Can I interrupt you here, too, Mr. McCool? Can you tell the listeners, how the different types of plants that we have growing there? I mean, they are very, very healthy. The root systems are very well developed. And these are plants.
We've got various types of seasoning plants like the basil. Basil grows amazingly well. I've eaten quite a few strawberries that we've grown in there. And there's that other one. It's like a lettuce. Do you remember that one?
Kale and arugula, I believe.
Arugula, that's that island. That's where our principals, Mr. Hunter Mark and Mr. Huffman, they go on their fancy beach vacation. It's just south of Shikora. It's a big deal. They brag about it every fall.
You got it confused. They go to Aruba, we go to arugula.
Oh. Well, that clears up a lot of things there, Mr. Pig. Thank you. Honestly, I'm a little embarrassed now, but I'll get over it.
It's like the joke you were thinking about telling about farming.
I was going to tell that one farming joke, but it was way too corny.
Ah. Oh, my. Tell us more, Mr. McCool. Tell us more.
Oh, well. See, again, we've got five components. We've got our trout. We've got our catfish. We've got our gardens. And those are hydroponic and aquaponic. But there's another.
I've got something. Miss McCool, I've got worms.
Say that one more time. I know we're on the radio and all, but I'm not sure I heard that.
I've got worms.
Whoa, Mr. Takis, we shouldn't be talking about this right. Should we call Dr. Slamecka?
I'm not sure if he's that kind of a doctor.
Well, this can be serious. I knew a guy in high school. He took a swim in some really polluted river and swallowed water, and he had worms real bad.
No, wait, Mr. McCool. Not talking about those kind of worms. I should have said it differently. It's we have worms. We have worms.
Oh,
you know,
we.
Vermiculture.
Well, no, of course we have worms. I knew
vermiculture.
Vermiculture. Not vermiculture. People call it vermiculture. It's a vermiculture with a V. And
that's right.
Why don't you tell us what vermiculture is?
Well, I'll tell you what we did in fifth grade. What we basically did was we got plastic storage containers, you know, with a lid, and anybody can do this at home. Again, this anything that we're kind of describing today, there's lots of information on the internet, but you could start your own vermiculture. And basically what you need is a plastic bin with a lid. You want to get newspaper, shred that up as fine as you can just by tearing it in thin strips, putting that inside your plastic bin and wetting that with plain old water. The most important thing, of course, you need are worms. And in order to start your own worm bin or vermiculture, you should use red worms. And those are the very thin, small worms. You would not want to use night crawlers. They're a different kind of worm, but red worms are voracious at eating plant material.
Since the red worms are so amazing, they've got a name. They are as the Cadillac of worm. And
Red wigglers.
Red wigglers, the Cadillac of worms. You can find them on the internet, or sometimes you can't even find red worms in bait stores and so forth, but... the thing is that we've been very successful with it. We've taken large amounts of food scraps from our middle school cafeteria, broccoli,
banana peels,
carrot, lettuce, and they reproduce. They lay their own eggs. They make more worms, and they turn all those scraps, that newspaper, into wonderful soil. The worm poop is called castings, and those castings are fantastic. And it's not just good for, say, your flowers or your vegetable garden, but it's also great for the environment because that's just less stuff that we're putting into dumpsters and landfills.
So, and another thing that's really cool, don't forget, I mean, if you're raising these worms, it's free bait. If you think about it, you can use these red worms to go fishing with if you wanted to.
That's true. And the other wonderful thing about this, I keep repeating what we've got. We've got trout, catfish, two different types of gardens, and we've got vermiculture. So what we've actually done for our students is shown them a complete nutrient cycle. We are growing things, we're feeding things, and we are decomposing things. And that's what happens.
How about a joke about worms, Mr. McCool? You wouldn't happen to have a joke about worms.
Worms. I don't know that it's... Okay, so this happened to me once... and I will let you decide if it's funny or not. What is worse than finding a worm in your apple?
What is worse than finding a worm in your apple?
Can you think of anything worse than finding a worm in your apple, Mr. Takis?
Nope. What would it be?
The only thing worse than finding a worm in your apple is finding half of a worm.
I think I get the picture.
All right, so now that we've talked about all the things that we do and the things we like to learn about, let's get back to this challenge that we'd like to issue our student listeners. We want you to take any of these things that we've talked about. Like I said before, anything that you find interesting, the worm composting, raising fish, growing plants with soil without. We want you to do something. and not just do it, but we want you to take a picture of it. And who knows, maybe you've even done these things. Maybe you already have a worm composting bin. We want to see that, and we want to show everyone. When you go to the website, if you're able to, you'll see that I've already made a section that's related to this radio show, and I'll be posting any pictures that people send me. And then we'll push them out for the district to put on social media as well. We want to recognize that you folks are trying to expand your knowledge and doing things that you find are interesting. So what are some things that kids could do, Mr. Takis? What are some ideas?
Well, I'll tell you what, definitely starting a worm bin or a vermiculture, but something's very easy to do. And again, feel free to look this up on the internet, but you could start your own hydroponics system that's very small, just using a Ziploc plastic bag and a paper towel. If you put the paper towel inside the Ziploc plastic bag, add a little bit of water, and if you have any type of seeds in your garage or laying about your house, even dried beans that some people use for cooking, you just put one or two seeds on that paper towel and seal up that Ziploc bag, and probably within a week, you'll see the roots sprouting on those seeds, and once that has a good start, you could open the top of that bag, and you will have a plant growing up, and all you have to do is just keep giving it water, and you could have your own mini hydroponic system just right there, and keep it on the windowsill so it gets some sunlight.
And not much more difficult if you have a fish tank already. You can take a plant. Of course, you would want to wash all of the existing soil off the roots. You can suspend those roots, find an easy way with some craft sticks or something to suspend the roots of that plant into your fish tank. Again, that's another possibility. There are a lot of YouTube videos and other websites to take you through any of the stuff that you would like to do. If you don't want to build a worm bin or you don't want to put a plant in your fish tank, go fishing. Go out and look for some of these catfish and trout that we're talking about. And if none of that is your cup of tea, what is? Do you like to write? Do you like to draw? Do you like to make your own videos? Take whatever your interests are and explore those and explore some of what we're talking about at the same time. If you have already painted a watercolor picture of a fish and it's on your bedroom wall, take a picture of it. Any of these are great, and we want to know about it. So if you go to your web, Google email account, and you just start typing in my name, McCool, McCool, the rest of my address will pop up, and go ahead and send me any of the pictures that you would like. Like I said, if you've already done it or you are going to do it soon, we want to know and we want to show the world what Butler is doing here to expand their knowledge.
I have an idea too, Mr. McCool. If you recall, we have in our halls, we have pictures of staff members and students kind of showing off their biggest catch. So if anybody has photographs of themselves with a lunker, a large fish, or even a small fish, your first fish, any kind of fishing picture, maybe you can send that to Mr. McCool as well.
Right. And while we're talking about this, our website, I mentioned everything we've talked about is there for you to see, and it's pretty easy to find. Just go to the middle school website. If you don't have that bookmark, you can just go to Google and put in Butler Middle School, and it'll take you right there. And if you look to the right side, you will see a link for Fisheries Program Nursery. And you can spend quite a bit of time in there looking at different videos, pictures, and demonstrations of the things you've got going on. And if you don't know what you want to do yet, go in there and fish around until you find something you like. You like that, Mr. Tate. So it's about time to end, Mr. Tagus. What do you think?
Yeah, it looks like we're about near the end of our time here.
Before we go,
I'll give out some tips, huh?
Yeah.
These are tips for our school district, and so please parents and students that you know that you can access student assignments and teacher office hours on the Butler Area School District website. If for some reason you have not received an email from your building with assignments, please make sure that you let your teacher know or your principals know so that we can get in contact with you. And you know what? Reach out to your teachers, you know, with any kind of questions or needs that you may have. Use their emails, and they would be very, very happy to hear from you.
I would even like to just hear from some students to say hi. Tell me what they're up to. We want to know. We want to make sure that everybody's having a good time out there. And again, I look forward to seeing a lot of pictures from all you folks, what you're doing with this information.
One more joke, Mr. McCool.
Ah, really?
Yep.
You think one we more. Should?
Here it goes.
All right.
Ready?
Okay.
Where does a fisherman go to get his hair cut?
Got a fisherman getting a haircut. Fisherman go to get his haircut. I don't know.
He goes to the barber shop. A barber's
I
barber.
Get it.
Yeah. It's a little play on words.
Word? Playing with words.
We're going to be heading out, right, Mr. McCool?
We're heading out. What final words do you have for everyone?
Well, here it goes. We want everybody to remember to always be kind, do your best, and have a great educational day.
Thanks for your time, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend, everybody.